I know how much all of you love hearing updates from past Proof to Product guests. So today, Lisa DeVito of Tiramisu Papery is back on the show. She's going to share what she's been up to the last few years. Lisa is a Paper Camp alum and one of my mastermind clients, so I have had the honor and privilege of seeing her business growth up close. The last time she was here on the podcast was in 2018 for episode 55, where she talked about why she started her business, the why behind her brand, and how she quickly expanded into wholesale. I will link that in the show notes so you can go back and listen if you have not already caught that episode. But on today's episode, Lisa is sharing where her business is now, where she's focusing her time, her energy, and her effort. And she's sharing details about opening a retail storefront in Huntsville, Alabama. Today's episode is brought to you by our Email Marketing for Product Makers Guide. If you have struggled with what to say, when to send your emails, or how to plan out your email marketing strategies, we have the tool for you. Head to prooftoproduct.com/email marketing and grab this free guide. It has helped hundreds of product makers plan out a year's worth of emails in under an hour. Yep, we will tell you what to say, when to send, and help you create an email strategy that works for your specific business. Again, that's prooftoproduct.com/email marketing. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. I'm on a mission to empower product-based business owners to confidently grow their revenue in their own way and at their own pace. Here at Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies, find inspiration, and action steps to help you start, streamline, and scale your product-based business. So grab your favorite notebook to take notes and let's get started. Lisa, so happy to have you back on the podcast. Welcome.
I'm so happy to do this again. This is, you know, it's kind of surreal.
I know, right? Okay. So last time, just for the listeners here, last time we chatted was in 2018. It was episode 55 of Proof to Product, which feels like a lifetime ago. And in that episode, you talked about your startup story, how quickly you expanded, and how you saw success in wholesale. And we also talked about your first time exhibiting at a wholesale trade show and working with reps. We covered a lot of ground in that episode, girl.
Oh my God, we did. And now when I'm thinking about it, I'm like, that was 4 years ago. Think about that.
I know.
4 years ago.
A lot has changed, huh?
Oh, so much.
Okay, so let's do, I know. So let's do a quick update for listeners here. What are your primary revenue streams currently?
My primary revenue streams currently are still wholesale. That is still my big baby bread and butter, if you will. And that's probably taking about right now 70% of my income. And the other 30 is now my retail. Since I opened the store, that's increasing as I'm seeing as time goes on.
Okay. So retail side now, we'll talk about the shop in a little bit, but you've got a retail brick and mortar store, you've got your online sales, and then wholesale. Okay. And how many stores are you in currently with wholesale right now?
It's over 1,000. I stopped counting after I hit about 1,200. I said, screw it. I can't count this high.
Lisa, that's amazing. Like,
I know. And I kind of got to that point where it's like, you know what? I'm very grateful. Anybody that I get, it's grateful. And then like numbers for that. I mean, yeah, you want to be like, beat your little chest a little bit, but at the same time, you're just like, with the way the world is, I quit counting because I'm just happy to be in a store. And I'm still thrilled.
I love that mentality. Also, can I just acknowledge publicly that like, this is a major shift because when you were here in 2018, like your heart was completely set on hitting these arbitrary goals that you had set. And I don't say arbitrary as like a flippant thing,
but
you wanted to get into a certain number of stores. And like, that was the focus. That was the goal. That was what you're reaching for. And now here you are saying, yeah, I don't know. We surpassed 1200, but like, I'm still just loving the accounts I'm working with. It's a different mentality, right?
And I think that it is a totally different mentality. And that mentality came through COVID. Because at that point, I think we can all attest, me and everybody else in our community and other makers are like, hey, I'm just happy to get an order, you know, and you're just happy that people still want you and you still feel like you provide that value that, and
yeah,
as you would say, that you feel seen and heard, and then your products resonate. And I mean, like, knowing that to keep me going, I'm very happy. Like, I don't care. I mean, I do care. Let's just be, we care about everything.
We
can, but I mean,
of course we
if
care.
It's a and if it's a small order, awesome. If it's a large order, thank you. You know, that doesn't matter as much as you keep coming back. You know, it's not like a first date and you never hear and they ghost you. It's they keep coming back for more.
Well, and I think that's what I'm seeing. It's like in those earlier days, and when we talked before, it was like the hunt of the chase for the new, right? Because you didn't have a lot of new. And now it's the customer retention. It's the how can we continue to strengthen our relationships with our existing accounts? How do we keep them coming back for more? How do we get their average order value up? Like, all of these things play into that maturity as a business owner too.
Right. And I think too, now that I've got the other avenues, I see now the mindset of a buyer now. And that is really, I think, shifted my mentality of thinking, oh, I need to have this much in this order. At this point, I feel like I'm grateful for whatever you can do, because it's tight right now for a lot of people. And I get that. I get that. So I just, you know, I'm very grateful and I'm thankful for what they can do.
Yeah, for sure.
As a store owner.
I wanted to go back to some of the lessons you've learned from having the shop, but I want to go through a couple of things first. Last time we had talked about you working with sales reps. Are you still working with reps, and how's that going, or how has that evolved?
I've really cut back on reps. I just have a very small group and that's it. I have just found that, how can I say this without being so rude, that I feel like that model is slowly going away. I personally feel that. And the reps that I have, they're younger. They're more vibrant. They understand my line. They're not offended by it. So I've kind of cut back on a lot of that and put a lot of it onto Fair and Abound and all the other wholesale platforms. But I've kept my small number of reps. I think I have maybe like, are you ready for this? I think I have 8. That's it. I went from 40 something. Yeah. I have like 40 plus to now 8. I'm okay. Yeah. And I think that's just, I'm starting to make better decisions on who I want to partner with.
Yeah. Well, that's the important piece, right? Because they are a partner in your business. And if they don't understand your product line, if they're not comfortable selling it, they're not going to sell it. So finding a smaller group of people that can do a better job of selling is going to yield you stronger results than working with a huge pool of people that are doing sales but don't quite resonate with the brand.
And I think too, when you're with a bigger group, you become a number. You're not a person. And I want to be a person. And I want them to see, oh, it's not just cards. You are buying her. You are buying her story, her why, her mission, versus, oh, that's a cute card. I'll take it. Bye. Okay. See ya. Da, 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 da. Yeah. Hi, I'm here. I'm a person. They see me as a person. And I really like that more so
than
the alternative.
I know you've also been considering hiring somebody in-house to do sales. Oh. You and I were chatting about that on a coaching call recently.
Yes. Do
you want to share anything about why you're thinking about that route?
I think I'd rather have that one person who can be my right hand. And we are almost like sharing the same brain to some level, but that's what they do. Because I am finally getting to that point where I'd rather have that and have a better relationship with my customers that way. Instead of, like I said, being a number. And I think that's what's going to grow the business and keep the business going. So then I can focus on the other stuff, like developing more products, growing the retail side more. And I think that's what I'm going to have to do. Granted, I'm very scared to make those decisions because it is a big decision. Like, you know me, like when I say, yes, I'm going to do it, I take my time. I'm a little bit more calculated and then I do it. I mean, like I knew where I wanted to be, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I take my time. The things to make sure I knew my heart is going to go in this direction. Is this the right decision I'm going to make with my business? Yes. I just got to find the right person.
Absolutely. And that's the challenge. I mean, finding someone that meshes personality wise, that has the skills, the experience, it's challenging for sure.
It is. And I also think, and you can attest to this, it's a part of family. You know what I'm saying? They are part of your family. And they are not going to have to be upset with you if you're having a bad day that, you know, like, oh, I can't deal with her. She's just in a bad mood today. No, we're going to have good days and bad days. You just need somebody who can look at you and talk to you like a sister going, girl, get over it. Let's go. Come on. Let's, you know, and I need that, you know.
I was going to say, you need that for somebody to call you out on your.
Yeah, I do. I do. And so that's why I need to find somebody who can jive with me that way.
That's funny.
Me sitting there crying in a corner.
No, I get it. I care very deeply about my team, but I'm moving very quickly a lot of the times. And mm-hmm. so I've said to them, you know, sometimes my messages may come off as curt or direct or whatever. I am not angry. There's no negative emotion behind it. I'm just trying to get these kids to your soccer brain. And pick this one up there. And I'm trying to spit information out so that you can continue working on what you want. And so, but you know, some of that it's nuanced for sure. So finding the right person is always a challenge.
So hard. So hard.
Last time you were on, we talked about watering our entrepreneurial garden. And you reminded us that what we give time and attention to will grow within our business. And I love this analogy, but I'd like to ask you, what are you currently focusing on and nurturing currently in your business?
Right now, I'm really focusing and is trying. Now, this is what's so funny. Now that I live in Alabama, we have a little vegetable garden in the back. And as I watch my boyfriend nurture and garden the two things, I'm like, oh my God, that's me and my business, you know? And it, cause you're balanced, it's a balancing act. So I'm trying to grow and nurture both the retail and the wholesale. And that's a very hard thing to keep watering. Cause one needs a constant attention, the watering, the, you know, you put your nutrients in the ground, like you would keep going and growing, where you know that the wholesale, it's, I'm not saying that it's like a succulent, but you don't, the way it absorbs the water is totally different than that of retail. So yeah. I'm just trying not to overwater one and not starve the other, you know, yeah. And it's a big balance. And so for anybody that's trying to do both or is doing both, I guess we can all attest, like there's some days you're just like, maybe I just need to stick to one. Maybe I need to stick to the other, but really in the long run, I know in my heart of hearts, I like both. I want to keep doing both.
Yeah.
You know, it's like ice cream, vanilla, chocolate. Nope. I need the swirl. You know?
Yes. So we keep alluding to this shop. You recently moved to Alabama and you opened up a retail brick and mortar storefront. I know this is something you wanted to do for a long time. I know too, that when you've looked at different spaces in the past, you were always kind of having an eye towards like, okay, could this have a retail storefront to offset the expense of having the warehouse space that we need for wholesale? Right. You know, you were doing that, like those gymnastics in your head, the logistics of it. Opening the shop, has it been easier or harder than you expected?
Harder. For any,
and tell me why.
Says, oh my God, this is so easy. I want to slap them because there's logistics. And because you are, first of all, like you have people coming in all day while you're trying to pack orders and you're trying to balance the two. And that's in like, you're balancing your time differently during the day. Then you're also having to not only develop products for yourself, for your line to grow, you're also looking for products that complement your products to put in the store to kind of like make it even more of an experience. Like it's a very hard thing to juggle. And then when you're trying to open it, things happen. I was supposed to be open February 1st. I didn't open till April 1st, you know, because electricity or the floors, or in my case, the smell of fish from my store next door. I couldn't get rid of that smell from my neighbor. It took me forever. But I mean, like things happen and it's a very stressful thing because if you're open, you're not bringing people in and you're kind of like, I just got to focus on the wholesale, but I've got all this inventory sitting here. I got to move it. It's challenging, but at the same time, when you feel like, oh my God, what am I doing? Why did I do this? Somebody comes in and I had this girl and I looked at her. I'm like, is everything okay? I mean, like I could tell, like she almost had this look of like, I don't know what to do. I go, what is wrong? Can I help you? She's like, for the first time I walked into a store, I feel seen. I feel like you get me, you read my thoughts, because it's like, and what I've done is I just sat there and I'm like, that's the whole point, to make you feel good, to make you have that pick me up. And bringing in lines that, of course, a lot of it's our paper community of Paper Camp and our alum, because their mission falls in line with my mission, or it just complements what I do. And yeah. we all just want somebody to know that, hey, you over there, I see you. You know, I get it. I feel you. I know what you're going through. And it's not a surface feeling. It's that authentic, raw, like, I am truly here for you.
Yeah.
That made it worth it. At that moment, that point in time, made it worth it.
I love hearing that story. Thank you for sharing it. I also think it's important to acknowledge for anyone listening that's considering opening up a shop that selling wholesale requires its own processes, systems, like marketing techniques, all of that. Selling direct to consumer online requires a whole different set of inventory management, payment processing, marketing, like, and then the shop, it like piggybacks a bit on the online, but really it's its own separate thing too. I mean, mm-hmm. you need to have technology that syncs between all these different platforms. You need to make sure that you're not selling through inventory online that you don't now have in the store. Or, like, there's a lot of those types of logistics that I think a lot of people don't realize before they're in the mix on it. Do you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. Because there's times where you think you've got an extra one in the inventory. It says it has one in inventory and it's gone. It's completely gone. And you're like, where did it go? And of course, with stickers, it's very easy to, for those to kind of like sticky fingers to take. I know that. Mm. And you're just like, oh, you know, and it just, it is what it is. I mean, you've got a test versus online and wholesale. The thing about retail and the store of brick and mortar, and this comes from my days of working retail and box stores and stuff, it's shrinkage. Like mm-hmm. you don't realize that you think you've got all your corners with all the cameras and all your eyes everywhere, but something can always slip by you and then you're like, crap, somebody just walked out with that. You know, those are like some of the little things that you don't deal with in wholesale or online. It's part of owning a store. And I think that just getting a little bit tighter with that, making sure it doesn't happen, is something that I've been really good at and about. So far, there's only been like two stickers that have been off on inventory. Thank you. But other than that, I mean, like, it's hard because there's some days you're just like, oh God, does somebody walk in my store, to the point of, oh my God, can you please leave? I really need to pee, because you're by yourself.
That's so funny.
And you're just like, oh, I really hope somebody I know comes in, because I really need to go to the bathroom.
That's so funny.
Oh, it's true.
I know. I believe you. Are you considering, or have you like hired any help in the store? Because it sounds like you're working it all on your own so far. Is that true?
Yes, it is true. I've been pretty much all by myself. Every now and then I have some people that will help on occasion. When I, like for today, I had somebody come in for a couple hours that I know, you know, but it's just, again, it goes back to me letting go. I'm a control freak, and letting go is very hard. And I know I'm going to have to find the right people. I just don't want to find just anybody. I need somebody who kind of gets it in a way and can be me when I'm not there.
Well, the other challenge here is that you move states. You were in Tennessee and now you're in Alabama. And so, you know, any sort of like family and friend network that you had previously,
it's gone.
I assume, yeah. You don't have that same network and support there. Mm-mm. Do you?
No, not really. It's just, you know, I got to admit, the boyfriend has been amazing. Like when we had that big order from Albertsons, like I told you, we just came home. I brought them all in. We sat down, turned on Netflix. I poured him a bourbon. We just started packing. I mean, he's like, I don't mind doing this with you. I'm like, thank God, because you're going to be doing this the rest of our lives together. Just telling you, right?
You're like, unless I find some new friends quickly.
But I mean, like, quickly, right? But I'm meeting people. I mean, like, I will say this. I made a big jump. I moved my warehouse. I moved my life. I opened a store. And here we are. Oh, wait. Can we throw in there that I turned 50 and I'm going through menopause all at the same time during all this?
No big deal. Our fine listeners will support you in this.
I'm here. Right. But I mean, it was hard. I mean, in finding that network, and a very trustworthy network. Now, there's a girl here that I've known from high school that lives here. So her daughter helped out some, which was great. Nice. Now she's back at school. But when she comes home for the weekends, she can fill in on occasion.
Which
is helpful. Yeah.
That's really good.
But other than that, no, it's just been me.
Okay. Well, that's a lot of transition and a lot of expansion in different ways. Because I mean, if you had moved states and just kept things running on wholesale, like full steam ahead, and then also focused on your direct to consumer online, that would be a very different experience than moving states, having to identify a location, not knowing the area necessarily, having to identify a location that will make for a good storefront, you right. know, and piecing the rest of this together. So I want to acknowledge that, like, this was a lot to take on, and you're doing a really great job of navigating it.
Well, I'm glad you think so. I'm gonna put that in my one fuzzy folder that you said that.
There you go.
It was, I think what made it easier is the support system. I have a support system that I am truly grateful for, who is there with me, who's doing this with me, like whatever I need. He's like, just don't ever be afraid to ask. I will do whatever I can do. That makes a big difference.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's everything. A support system's everything, especially for that's that kind great. Of move.
Oh yeah, yes. For sure. You know, you have had a tremendous amount of growth in your business since you started. And it's been like a rocket ship going up, which is amazing. You know, knowing everything that you know now and looking yes. back on your business journey, is there anything that you would choose to do differently?
Yeah, there really would be. I wouldn't rush into reps, first of all. I think that burned me in some ways. I think I would have taken my time a little bit longer. I would have grown my business a little bit longer before I went that route.
Because what do you mean you felt burned? Did you were you not able to keep up with order demand, or were you, no, that's a common problem I hear from people.
It wasn't the demand of the orders. It was what them telling me what I needed. Oh, you need to add this to your line. You need to do this and you need to do that. And you did it. I listened to too many people. Versus listening to my heart. And I feel like that burned me in a relationship wise with reps.
Yeah.
I mean, reps, don't get me wrong, they're great, but there's some that would like to try to tell you and tell you how to do your business. Yes, they've been in it for a while, but they don't know your why. They don't really know about your why. They just want you to grow. What can I sell? Versus how can we help you be better? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, or how can we help you reach the goals that you're striving for? Because everyone's goals are different. Right.
Completely. And I think also too, I would have probably not have tried to do everything else and focused more. Case in point, I was teaching Zumba. I was still freelancing. I had this line. I think I would have pulled out some of those things and cut them out a lot sooner because I think in order to grow the way I should have grown, I mean, like I grew fast, don't get me wrong. I think that if I pulled some of those away, I would feel better about certain decisions in my business. Okay. If that makes sense. Meaning I think I wouldn't have been staying up to 2-3 in the morning trying to pack orders and trying to do things in a rush manner versus taking my time and being smarter about other decisions. Instead of just bringing anybody, I would have been a little bit more, let me think about this before I did it versus, you know what? I don't care. I need help. Let's just do, I think I would have slowed down a little bit more. And I can say this, if no matter where you are in your business, say that somebody's just starting and they've got a year of wholesale and they're like, okay, now reps. No, you don't. Just keep doing what you're doing. The right rep will show up. Yeah. Again, it goes to watering your garden. The right rep will show up versus just jumping in on all of them.
I love that you said this. And I think it's important that we do slow down. I think it's important that we acknowledge what our priorities are and really pour our time and energy into those things because they will grow. I also want to push back and challenge you a little bit because
why?
I'm speaking for myself here too. Like I'm not calling you out. I'm not.
I
like,
know.
You know I don't do that kind of stuff. Well, maybe a little bit. But but here's the thing: you are also, and I'm the same way, a multi-passionate, multifaceted person.
I am. Not gonna lie.
Who frequently thrives in that
overachieving. We want to, we have to put ourselves into everything almost.
Yes. And I think that we're used to taking on so much because we're excited about so much that part of me wonders, as you're saying, like, I would have streamlined, I would have pulled back, I would have focused more. I 100% agree. As I look back at my career as well, I mean, you look back at the early days of Proof to Product and I'm just like, what the F? Like, I seriously am like, I had two businesses, two babies under 2 years old, an intense day job that had me traveling a lot. Like, what was I thinking? But I also feel like this is where we need to do a gut check on ourselves and be like, would I have filled that time with other things? Like, if you had pulled back on Zumba or some of these other things, would you have filled it with other things in the business, do you think? And obviously this is totally hypothetical and like a guess, but like, would you have filled it with business stuff? Or do you think you would have filled it with like more time with friends or with Michael, your son? Like, what do you think?
I think it would have been, not even right now, I'm not teaching Zumba anymore. Do I miss it? Oh my God, I miss it so much. I miss that community. But I'm seeing that I'm putting myself like, okay, let's put that time that I would have been doing that back into my business. That's what I've noticed I've been doing a lot more of. And I think if I had to do it back then and pull out, I'd probably be with Michael a lot more. I probably would. And I think also too, I would have really worked on me a little bit more too, because here's the thing that I've noticed. I mean, for those that don't know, like what, beginning of 2019, I had that rash that would not go away. And that rash after we've nailed down, it was a stress rash. The cortisol levels in my gut were so high that it was coming out on my skin in these bubbly rashes that cover me. And anytime I got stressed, I talked about it. I scratched like crazy and I was itchy. That's when I realized I should have just put more self-care, you know, because I did too much.
You did too much. But you're not alone in that either. I mean, how many, I'm sure there's people listening right now that are like, yeah, I pushed my body and my brain to the breaking point. And I mean, even me, I got strep throat a couple of weeks ago in the middle of running paper camp and I had to cancel podcast episodes. I had to cancel all the stuff because I could not speak. The doctor was like, you cannot speak.
You still have your tonsils?
Yes. Yes.
Listen, I mean, forget that. You still have your tonsils. Listen to me.
I do. But like, my point is just like if we're not taking care of ourselves, our bodies will force us to stop.
They will force us shut down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't mean to pick on you there. And I did not mean to like call you out or anything about like,
no. But you know what? But Katie, that's just me. Those are the kind of conversations I enjoy having. And it's self-reflecting. You know, if I had to do it again, I probably would have slowed down a little bit more and did the self-care.
Same.
Hey, here's the other thing. Just throwing this out there. Would I be divorced now? Who knows?
Yeah. Well, it's a good reminder that every little decision we make and where we put our time and energy and attention, it affects where we go down the line. And so, you know, and how the choices we make, I guess, is really how it boils down. The choices we make are a ripple effect. It's a domino effect. And we have no idea where it's taking us next.
No. And I mean, it's just when you throw that pebble in the lake, you just don't know where it's going. You just know it's going to keep going. And that one decision can make a difference.
Tell me, what are you most proud of in your business? Like, what have you done that you're just like, I did good there?
Honestly with you, I'm pretty darn proud of that Albertsons order. I am.
Yeah.
44 stores and navigating. That was a big integral thing because I had to ship each rack to the stores, not everything to a distribution center. I had to do everything. And I think out of all, I did not mess up the orders. I was more proud. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't double anything up. I didn't miss anything. Like that was great. A lot. And I mean, like I was very diligent on planning that. That was a big yay me. And I think also too, opening the store.
Yeah.
I really feel like that was a big, big win for me. It's been my baby.
Long time coming too. Both of those are great shares. Thank you for that. You know, we talked about your journey and like what you would go back and change or do differently, but like, you know, there's a lot of people listening right now that are just kind of getting started in their business. They're starting this journey of creating and selling physical products. And you know, what advice would you want to provide them given your knowledge and experiences?
You know, it's funny because even people asking me coming in the store, the first thing is like, you better know what you want to make. You need to know what you want to do and you better know those numbers because there's people like, yeah, but I don't want to drive all the way over there. And I'm like, wait, but are they a better quality and less cost? Yeah, it's worth the drive. You go, you know, you've got to think about your numbers. Knowing those numbers to pay yourself is key. Even now, Katie, I hear you in my head. Know your numbers. Know your numbers. Is this making me money? Nope, it's not. I'm cutting it out. I mean, like, I still do that. Even the inventory that I'm bringing in, I'm like, not worth it. You know, knowing those numbers and sticking to your why you started this thing, know it, because there's going to be people that are going to deviate you. And when they deviate you, you see it in your designs, see it in you, you see it in everything. I think you just got to stay and hold true to your brand. And you better know it, live it, breathe it inside and out, because that is that's what's making you, you.
Yes.
You know,
you bring up such a good point. And you said this earlier too, where like you mentioned that reps were, you know, asking you to release different types of things or make changes. And that is one thing I think it's important to touch on. There will be people along the way that ask you to do, and I'm seeing this a lot in our labs program right now, actually. And we just finished out paper camp too. And I heard it there too, where it was like, the store is asking for this in blue instead of green. Right now I have it in green. And like, they want to say yes, understandably, because they want to appease the customer. They want the sale. They want to make it right, easy for people. But at the same time, that then becomes a traditional wholesale order to shifting to a custom order or something that they're doing differently. So there's the logistical piece of this.
And what's going to happen? There's what's going to happen. They're going to keep asking you for doing that. And they're going to keep changing you on that. And if you say yes one time, that's it. You've opened the floodgates. You can't close them. I remember I designed something like, yeah, I really like that, but can you change the font on that? And I'm like, no, the plate has been made. No. Well,
and this is how you ended up with cream and white paper that you were using in your line, and like the same design on different papers.
And so I'm like, middle finger, it's white and white only.
I was so happy when you finally said yes to that. I'm like sitting here like, yes to white. I guess my point is a couple of things. One, we need to acknowledge when something's not a traditional wholesale order that it is, then it transfers over to a custom order, and we need to treat it as such, meaning charging for it and handling all that. But the second thing is, like, we cannot underestimate too, those type of asks, while they are harmless and like nobody's trying to hurt you or nobody's trying, they're just asking for what they want and hoping you'll say yes, right? But those kind of questions do mess with our mind a little bit as we're developing our product line. And I think it does create some doubt for people. I think it does make them second guess their choices in their design process. But if we were to listen to all of that type of feedback and start implementing every single piece of feedback we receive about our line would not look cohesive and like a, you know, really strong collection. It would start to look piecemeal after a while and, you know, kind of disjointed. And so I don't know. I guess I just wanted to talk through this a little bit just because I know people are getting asked to do specialty stuff. And one, it's okay to say no if it doesn't work for you. And two, it's okay to say, let's talk about this as a custom project. So,
you know, I think people want to ask for what they want to ask. I mean, they're going to take the chance. I mean, I get it. But again, you say yes one time. Just be ready.
It's
just
a slippery slope for sure. It's a slippery slope for sure.
I mean, let's think about it. I had somebody ask for say it's a mug. Mugs, for example, for wholesale. Okay, let's take, they're like, well, you know, I really wish you could just do this design on this mug, but I only need four. You know, you have to order anywhere between 144 minimum or 200. Yes. So then you're stuck with all of this. And then like, I had one person go, oh, I would love this card on a poster. I did it. Then I got stuck with all these posters.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, you're like, you know what? I'm not going to do that again.
No. And it's a tough lesson that I think everyone kind of has to learn on their own. But the more we could talk about it publicly and share experiences, I hope that it will help people make stronger decisions in that, because nobody wants 144 extra mugs that were requested by one person or a set of prints, you know, like if you start to get the same type of feedback over and over, then that's something to think about, you know, but
if a rep comes to you and goes, this is what was told to me.
Yeah.
We really need you to make a lot more sweet cards. Can you stop making the bad words? No, I'm not. I mean, sorry. I mean, like they did. I'm like, go around the corner. Take the customer, go around the corner where all the sweet stuff is. You know what I am. Let somebody try to change who you are. And that's what's beautiful about everybody's unique line. It's who they are, you know? So yeah, no is a sentence, period.
Yes. Yes, it is. You are correct. Oh, Lisa, I really enjoyed this chat with you. I know this was a much more like kind of candid conversation than some of my episodes, but I think it's important to bring people back to see kind of like, where are they now? I mean, it's been several years since you and I've been chatting privately, but like for the audience to hear where you're at and what's going on, I think it's fun for them to hear about the growth. I think it's fun for them to hear your lessons learned and how that can be helpful in their own journey that they're doing. So thank you for that. What is coming up next for you and Tiramisu Papery?
Oh, right now we are getting ready. The store itself ready for the holiday season. Bringing in so much fun stuff. And then Alabama has no idea what they're in store for with me. Let me put it to you that way. So yeah, it's going to be a merry effing Christmas in my store. That's for sure. And then I'm going to be getting ready and getting the new line out for January market. So awesome.
Are you doing shows in the winter?
I'm definitely doing one for sure. I'm still on the fence about a couple others. I'm just trying to figure that one out. Which one's going to be my better suited for, as we know, I do well in Vegas. That's always a for me. And I'm still trying to figure out Atlanta, if I want to do the noted or just going, oh, heck with it. Can you put me next to Sam? Every time I talk to Atlanta, I'm like, I need to be next to Near Modern Disaster. I need to be near her.
Oh, I love that. You guys are still friends and talk so much. That's awesome.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, I feel like when we're around each other, not just Sam and I, but all of us, the paper community that in ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a synergy of just how we all are. People see it.
Oh yeah.
And I think that's it's a unique. Good thing. Yeah. Oh, it's truly unique. It's truly unique.
Well, let's tell everybody where they can find you online, on social, and also where your shop is located.
Okay. Our shop is located in Huntsville, Alabama. And if you can't come into the store, you can shop us online at tiramisupapery.com, which is also the same social media on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, which is my favorite, and TikTok.
Oh, yeah. Yes. You're jumping into the fun there, huh?
Well, you know, you kind of said we need to in a roundabout way, like don't miss out.
How trippy is this? I was just talking to Betsy from Blue Wolf the other day and I was like, remember back in like, I think it was summer of 2020 when I'm like, I'm experimenting and playing.
Yeah.
Cause we're all home. And I'm like, I think you guys should look into this and like start experimenting and like, just have fun with it. Like olden days of Instagram, go play. And Betsy jumped in pretty straight away. A few other people did too.
She really did.
And it has gone bananas for her, which is awesome.
Can we just acknowledge that Shayna from Steel Pedal Press, who was like, I don't want to be on camera.
Oh, I know.
Oh my God. She went, boom. And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. She found her vibe. Like,
she found her home for this.
Yeah.
Like, she
loved it. Was great. Yeah.
I agree.
And so yeah, me, as much as outgoing as I am, I'm like, oh, I don't want to be on it.
Your videos are great. I think too, it's just the time, right? Like even if we batch stuff, even if we like block off time to do it, it's just still like, you've got a lot going on.
I'm on the
fly.
So. I'm the on the fly one. I can't like, when I do it, I just do it. I don't edit. I just do it.
Fair enough. All right. We're going to wrap this up right now, but thank you so much for your time today and for coming back to share. And we appreciate you.
Oh, I appreciate you, Katie. And I love you more than you know. You are such an integral part of the growth. So thank you. I'm tearing up. So sorry.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. All right, friend, thank you for staying until the end of this episode today. If you want to listen to Lisa's past podcast episode here on Proof to Product, it is number 55, which feels like so long ago. In that episode, Lisa talked about how the things that we water in our business grow. And I couldn't agree with her more on that sentiment. When we are intentional with our decision making in terms of where we're allocating our time, money, energy, and other resources, our business will grow in ways that we may have never expected. If you're currently feeling stretched thin or needing to refocus within your business, or if you just want to connect with other product makers who are starting and scaling their sales and marketing, come join us in Proof to Product Labs at prooftoproduct.com/labs. We'll be opening up the doors again at the end of the year, and everyone on our waitlist will get early access to secure your seat. We have some really exciting things planned for 2023, including more coaching clinics, ask an expert sessions, and community coffee chats. To learn more, head to prooftoproduct.com/labs. All right, I'll be back next week with a new episode.